Good afternoon, and welcome to the Boldness on Wednesday, the 20th of August. We've had a spell of cold weather the past few days, but that's not what we're going to really talk about. First of all, the Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and there's been some fantastic advocates in the world of invisible disability, and that's the Victorian Mental Awareness Illness Council. And today I would like to welcome Cass from Vimiac. Hello, Cass. How are you today?
I'm good, Raph. How are you?
I am absolutely sensational. Now, there's been a lot of things which actually happen in the world of disability. And what actually is Vimiac?
Well, Vimiac is the Victorian Mental Illness Awareness Council, but we just call ourselves Vimiac because, you know, there's some sort of outdated language in that title, so we're getting there on it. We are an organisation where the lived experience peak in Victoria, and we have advocates that work with consumers of mental health system. And we also advocate at a systemic level, and we write policy, and so we do a lot of things, but basically we advocate for human rights in the mental health system.
With the advocacy for human rights, why is it important that people with a disability understand or even know their rights?
It's really important because we don't really have a very good understanding generally of how many rights we have in the system, of what to do, what it looks like when those rights have been breached, and then what to do when they have been breached.
I understand that. But kind of like you said, when there's breaches of rights, what are the types of rights that a person may have when they're receiving services from any organisation?
Are you talking about in the mental health system?
Well, within the mental health system, what are the types of rights that people have within the mental health system?
I am not a human rights expert, but we have as many rights as anybody else, and they are the human rights. So we do have the right to services, and we do have the right to make choices and to be free of harm and those sorts of rights.
Cass, let's have a person wanted to make a complaint about a service they were receiving them. Do their rights mean that they wouldn't receive repercussions for speaking up for something they believe shouldn't have happened?
In the NDIS, which is where, you know, where Vimiac has been working a little bit lately, they absolutely have the right to have no repercussions for speaking up, for sure.
Vimiac has been developing a resource so that people have a much better understanding of what they can do. What is Navigating My Way?
Navigating My Way is something that Vimiac has been working on for a really long time. And it is about helping participants of the NDIS with a psychosocial disability to better understand their rights in the NDIS, to better understand what quality services is, and then to understand the complaints process. As well as that, so the project is in two parts. Those are the resources that we've made for participants, and there's another set that's for service providers who work with people with a psychosocial disability. And those resources are to help them understand what participant rights are, how to best work with them, and to best support a culture where you can put in complaints and feedback, and to have that be a positive experience with a good outcome.
With the project Navigating My Way, why is it important that people with lived experience are involved with the Navigating My Way to put the resources together?
Yeah, it's really, really important. Absolutely nothing with, about us without us ever. And for this project, we had more than 60 NDIS participants and mental health consumers work as part of our co-design group and our consumer advisory group on these projects. And so their lived experience was crucial to understanding and creating a set of resources that is going to be helpful and that is going to be useful and that's going to be engaging to read and relevant to their lives.
Nothing about us without us. Laura Hershey, an American disability advocate and advocate, she wrote a very famous poem about that. It was part of the Disability Pride Is Back mural.
Amazing, amazing.
Well, how this actually relates to having self-advocacy, why is it important that people are able to advocate for themselves instead of somebody else advocating for them?
Sometimes it's the only thing we have. I would say that sometimes there's all sorts of advocacy. So sometimes you want somebody to advocate with you, and sometimes you just have yourself. One of our resources is about self-advocacy, and it sort of outlines what self-advocacy is, some practical steps around how to do it, and to keep yourself and how to keep yourself safe while doing it. Look after yourself. Because it's not the easiest thing to do in the world. And I think one of the reasons why it's really important is because things go wrong in this world. We have misunderstandings, we have errors, we have breaching of rights. And if you haven't got a lot of experience in self-advocacy, you may not know where to start, what it is, or how to do it. And so we have written a fact sheet about how to do some self-advocacy, which is around stepping people through the process and starting small. And if you start small with your self-advocacy, you can build up and, make sure that you, when you're tackling big things, you've got some experience and some confidence behind you.
With the development of the resources, what is the format of the resources?
So we've got some videos, and that is some NDIS participants or some consumers talking about their experience putting in complaints and some of the maybe negative things that have happened to them and some of the things they wish would happen to them some of the things they wish service providers would have accepted it or would have done better. And these videos are about showing service providers how hard it can be for us to put in complaints and how hard it can be for us to raise issues and some of the really basic steps that they can take to make that better, safer space when we do. And also we, along with the videos, we have fact sheets. And so these are written resources.
there's been a range of resources which range from basically written copies, which would be online, and maybe physical copies. There's a video and some illustrated resources. How does that make it accessible for people?
We think the videos and the resources are a good mix of different formats, and we've had some online information sessions where we can talk about the resource and talk about the complaints.
Yep, so like with the video, it would have closed captions or subtitles with it.
Yep, we've got some Auslan versions.
So there are some online Auslan videos as well. Well,
yep,
that's
they
actually, that's really, really great that that's been taken into consideration, that there are other Auslan, because Auslan is a native or preferred language of a lot of people who identify as being deaf and part of the deaf and hard of hearing communities. And often the audio community overlooks having that type of accessibility. So very well done to Vimiak for doing that.
Thank you. We think it's important. So all four of our videos will be in Auslan.
Now we're going to play some community service announcements, and then we'll continue talking with Cass from Vimiak about the Navigating My Way. Welcome back to the Boldness after the community service announcements, and we've just listened to a song by Jen Frank called You're Not My Lover. And we're going to continue talking with Cass from Vimiak about the Navigating My Way project. Now, with Navigating My Way, like I said, understanding rights with the National Disability Insurance Scheme, I personally am confused about the National Disability Insurance Scheme. I identify as a person with a disability as well. What other type of rights a person does have with the National Disability Insurance Scheme?
People have the right for their service providers to follow the code of conduct. They have the right to be free of harm. They have the right for choice and control. They have lots of rights. I think that what we've done is created a set of fact sheets with that talk about the rights, and then we've put examples around what it looks like when your rights are being upheld, or what your rights, or if they're not being upheld. So it, hopefully that's part of the package that makes it really clear what rights you do have in the NDIS when working with service providers.
Seems to be a bit of a buzzword, which I hear from a lot of people when it comes down to any type of service about quality services.
Yeah.
And I describe it as a buzzword. Lots of brownie points for using the word quality. How does a person measure or get an indication of whether it's a quality service that they are accessing?
Yeah, it's one of those things that is a bit of grey. In the NDIS, quality services is outlined in a document, and the document is quite large. And so what we tried to do was to also break that down and put examples of lived experience examples next to each category of quality services. Even though we've done that, what your perception of that will be different depending on your own expectations and things like that. But so it is a little bit grey, but you there are it is worth reading and seeing if there are any examples that do sort of resonate with you.
Let's say if a person's making a complaint of any kind, there can be a lot of fear associated with it, especially like what are the repercussions there with the videos? How is that portrayed so that people can be confident in making complaints?
We've done a lot of work in these resources about educating service providers to accept complaints and feedback as like as a problem-solving positive thing. And so we've done some resources about setting up ongoing feedback re relationships early so people can tackle complaints before they become really big. We also have provided this project is funded by the Quality and Safeguards Commission, and so they're the commission that you go to if you're not happy with how your complaint was handled. So we've given people all of the information about how to file a complaint with service providers and then with the commission. And we've done our best to educate service providers about how to accept those complaints and create a positive thing out of them.
This all sounds very, very exciting, Cass. When is the Navigating My Way launch?
This is the really fun thing, is because we've had so many people involved and it's been going on for so long, and because we're so proud of the work and we're so hopeful about the changes that it can make. So to celebrate, on August 27, we're going to have a big party, and it's going to be at the Brunswick Town Hall. We'll have Eliza Hull playing music. We'll have some guest speakers. We'll have food from the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. It's just going to be a great night. It's at 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night. And everyone is welcome.
Where do they get more information and tickets? What website would they go to? Navigating My Way.
To see more, you can go to vimiac.org.au/navigatingmyway, and the tickets are also available on Humanetix. So you can just search Navigating My Way, and that will get you where you need to be. And everyone at Vimiac is standing by if you need more information. So you can always just send us an email as well.
Right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Boldness today, Cass, talking about the Navigating My Way project, which is Victorian Mental Awareness Illness Council, or more commonly, and probably a lot more politically correct to say, VMIAC. Thank you very much for joining me today, Cass.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Boldness will be back on the 27th of August. And to listen to the podcasts of The Boldness, they are available from www.3cr.org.au/boldness. And that way you can download and listen to them at your pleasure, and make sure that you continue to navigate my way. And you can also find The Boldness on Facebook. It has got 3CR The Boldness, and there's a list of the bonus interviews coming up, including a very special series on Melbourne Fringe Festival. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to go out with a song from Jeng Frank called Friend Zone. Keep listening to 3CR 8:55 AM.
Finally, ticket sales for Melbourne Fringe open on Friday, the 22nd of August. And in some super exciting news for 3CR and listeners of The Boldness, that I have been talking directly with Melbourne Fringe publicist. I'm incredibly proud, super excited to announce The Boldness is doing a special series on Melbourne Fringe Festival that will be only available on the podcast of The Boldness, which is www.3cr.org.au. This is a curated series, and some of the exciting moves which I'm going to announce very, very, very quickly because we're fast running out of time. We've got interviews coming up with Tattoo Show, Why We Show Shit at Access in Australia, Is Anyone Event Watching, Flesh Mirror, Power Move Meet Me at the Disco, Waste Worlds, Club Fringe. This series will be absolutely huge. It's going to be only available on the 3cr.org.au Boldness podcast site. The interviews start dropping on Friday, and then they'll be available Mondays and Thursdays. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Keep listening to 3CR 8:55 AM.